Acts chapter 3 this morning. Book of Acts chapter 3. Peter and John have been teaching in the temple. They have healed the lame man. And many are amazed at this happening. And in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, we read, they have run together. Let's read verse 11. We'll start there. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you for the good services we've had already. It's been a joy to hear your word and to know that your Spirit is speaking to our hearts, and I pray you'd help us to apply the things, Lord, that we have learned. We thank you for the Sunday school class, the both children and adults, and just the good services. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for the filling of your Spirit. Please help me to minister the word to your church this morning, and fill my dear wife with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. Help those in the nursery, dear God, bless them and fill them with your Spirit. And Father, once again, by your word and by your Spirit, for the glory of Christ and for the edification of your church, would you speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you? Do that work that needs to be done. We pray also for those, God, who are watching online and hearing or seeing the message, Father. And, oh Lord, work in every heart. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth from this place, that people would understand what it means to be saved. How someone can know that they can have their sins forgiven and be on their way to heaven. What your word calls being born again. Father, that would be true with the message going out from this place. And Father, for all who trust you for that salvation, simply by faith in Christ, they do become born again. And Father, might everyone who does, might we grow in the grace and knowledge of you and become more and more like our precious Savior every day. We thank you for the promise of your coming. We pray for grace and wisdom and power to be examples of your goodness and glory and grace as we reach out to others around us. Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Some sins are rooted deeply in our fallen nature. It might be safe to say probably all of them are. The different kinds of sins that people commit probably depends more on the circumstances they live in than what's in their heart. You and I might do the same sins that someone living in the ghetto does if we lived there. Probably the seeds of all kind of sin is in our hearts, I would imagine. But certainly pride is something that we all struggle with. And it seems that Peter had that struggle too, but it seems he got the victory on that. And by the way, it's not something that we get the victory and move on. And if I entitled the message this morning, Putting Pride Aside. That is, it is a continuing thing that we need to do because it will continue to show up in our lives. And it will continue, the devil will continue to try to get us to yield to that pride. We're so prone to do that. In our nature, we have an overabundance, the Bible says, of love for ourselves. And it has to be committed to God and put under the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to live and walk with God. Pride is not a good thing. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And for this morning, I only mention the first one, a proud look. He starts the whole list off with a proud look. If God hates even the look that proceeds from pride, how much does he hate the pride that creates the look? It's an amazing thing. This love for self has to be submitted to the Spirit. We have to yield to the will of God. By virtue of creation, God has the right to direct our lives. Solomon tells us that. He concludes his writings in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Because God made us, we're his creation, it is our duty to do everything that he says. That's just a fact. And by the way, even with all the grace that comes through Christ, Jesus didn't want us to forget that either. Jesus said in Luke 17:10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, think in your heart, have this attitude in your heart, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that's true. If we were to keep all the commandments all the time, and none of us have, but even if we did, we would have only done that which is our duty to do. Because God is our creator. But you know, beyond creating us, God has demonstrated to us his matchless love. Amen. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or demonstrated, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not keeping his commandments, not caring that much that he's the creator and we're the creation and we ought to be doing what he wants us to do rather than what we want to do, not caring about any of those things, while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. That's an amazing love. That's an amazing love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessed God we have. We know that we all have sinned against God. Times when we've chosen to do things that we know we shouldn't have done.
times when we've refrained from doing nice things which we know we should have done. We've all sinned. Whether it be cheating on the taxes, borrowing a few supplies from work, speaking evil of authority. Ouch. Presidents, governors, rulers. That's a popular one today, isn't it? Speaking evil of authority, that's a sin. Not admitting to a mistake we made, lest we look bad. Or get in trouble for it, covering something up. Not revealing some mistake we made or shouldn't have done. Had one bus driver years ago, I noticed, just wasn't around work anymore. And so I asked some other drivers, what happened to so-and-so? He was picking up some students, and he had it turn around at that particular stop. Didn't seem like anybody was there, so he proceeded back out the street and was told that someone said, "They're coming," or was someone out there. Anyway, he started backing the bus up down the street. The car had pulled up behind them. He backed into the bus, into the car with the bus. Never reported it. You think somebody's not going to call and find out? I don't get it. Guess what? Somebody called and find out, and he was no longer there. We all have sins that we deal with. God is so forgiving to send his Son. Romans 2:4 says about the goodness of God, leadeth us to repentance. Folks, when we sin, whether it's in our thought, actions, words, or deeds, and we feel ashamed, you ought to thank God for that shame. You know why? Because that comes from God. Amen. When we're just so frustrated that, we made this mistake, we did something wrong that we should have done, and it just breaks our heart, we ought to thank God for that. That's the Holy Spirit, amen? We don't want to ever become callous to those things. Thank God. His goodness leads us to repentance. Whether it's for a lost person to come to Jesus Christ and be saved, and forgiven for all their sins once and for all as far as heaven goes. Or whether it's a saved person who just needs some forgiveness so they can have that fellowship restored. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Either way, it's the goodness of God that convicts us. Pride is not a good thing. Whenever we refuse God's will to do our own will, we are exercising pride. We place our own will above His will, despising or taking lightly, despising His power over us as Creator and His love towards us as Redeemer. We choose to do our own will, believing it's best. But what does the Bible say? Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth what? Before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 11:2. 1 Timothy 3:6. Pastors, and we're not to be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We run into trouble if we let our pride run our lives. We have to be careful of that.
We want to learn from this account and from Peter's being full of the Spirit here some things about pride and putting away pride. First of all, as believers, we must put pride aside for, number one, the person of Christ. Make sure I've got my slides right this week. I heard I was running one slide behind last week, so put pride aside for the person of Christ. I think about Peter's message. What a Christ-exalting message. And that's what we need to be, amen. We need to be a Christ-exalting church, amen. We need to be Christ-exalting Christians. Look what Peter writes. Peter is preaching here in Acts 3:13. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus. Who has God lifted up? Who has God raised up? His son Jesus. He's the Holy One. Verse 14. He's the just or the just one. He's the Prince of Life. Verse 15. It's through his name that man had received strength. It's through his name. It's by faith which is in him. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You must put pride aside for the person of Christ. See, it's not about us. It's about Christ. And living for him and glorifying his name. Peter was humbled when it finally dawned on him who Jesus Christ was. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, we find an interesting scene. Jesus is preaching from Simon Peter's boat. They'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. And Jesus finished preaching in Luke 5:4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, he was close. Jesus didn't say net. He said nets. He missed a little bit of God's word. At your word, I'll lay down the net. But he should have laid down the nets, put down the nets. So what happens? And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net, singular, break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. That must have been an exciting 20 minutes or half an hour there, I'm telling you. I should have looked it up a little bit just to see a little bit more, just to see exactly if I could find exactly how they did that and how they drew those nets up there, whether they draw them up in a bundle and then bring it up to the boat. Was one side of the net attached to the side of the boat, and then they took the outside of the net, rolled the fish, pulled it up into the boat till the fish dumped into the boat. How did they do that? I'm not sure. But can you imagine? Peter throws down the net. All of a sudden, it's getting bigger, and it's the net's breaking. Somebody reaches out and grabs a hold of the hold of the net. There's fish falling out of the net. They're trying to pull it out. Fish flopping everywhere. Get over here and help! What did they do? Did they come over and slide the other net underneath it? They're trying. There's hollering back and forth, and I'm sure Jesus. I'm not sure if he's just standing back, letting them learn their lesson, or if he's helping them along the way. I can picture either one. But all this is going on, and they may even have lost sight of just exactly where he's at in the boat. And there's fish everywhere. His partners get over there, and they get all the fish hauled up into the boats. And they're all flopped into these boats, and there's fish everywhere. And there's so many that the boats begin to sink.
What do they do now? Get them over the other side of the boat. We're letting them over too far. They can start shoving all the fish over the other side. Maybe they started pushing some off the top. I don't know what they did, but those boats were sinking. And finally, they got things under control. Whew. And I can imagine Peter looking over at Jesus. And what does he say? He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. I'll bet they were. They nearly sunk both boats. You know what dawned on Peter? This man is divine. No one could do that but him. No one could do that but God. And it dawned on him. And he falls at his knees. "But depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I am in the presence of deity." What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. When the soldiers did not bring Jesus back as a captive, as the scribes had commanded them him to, when he was speaking at the Feast of Tabernacles, John 7:40 says, the officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." When we consider his sufferings, Isaiah 52:14, "As many as were stoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man." I've read commentaries on that that tell us that Jesus, in a sense, didn't look human after all the beatings in his face and back and such. Suffering. Great wisdom, great suffering. We consider his power. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," Jesus said. We consider his love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We consider his deity. Remember that first resurrection Sunday morning when the disciples were meeting there? There was one of them absent. His name was Thomas. He wasn't there that day. But the others told him that Jesus met them at their meeting. "We saw him. He talked with us. I won't believe unless I see the prints of the nails in his hand. Unless I see where the spear was thrust in his side, I won't believe," Thomas said. Well, Thomas came to church the next week. And Jesus said, "Come here, Thomas. Let me put your hands here. Feel this." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." What a Savior we worship. As believers, we need to put pride aside for the person of Christ. Secondly, we need to put pride aside for the power of Christ. We need to put pride aside for the power of Christ. Look what Peter says in his sermon there. Remember, Peter's got it now. He's full of the Spirit now. Verse 12, when Peter saw it, all the people gathered around to them, he says, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness this man was made whole." You think there's something in us that has the power to do this, Peter says. See, they're marveling at Peter and John. Wow! Peter says, "What are you looking at me for?" And wasn't our power. He says, "God," verse 13, "of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus." He's the one with the power. It's by faith in him, verse 16, that this what? Perfect soundness is given to this man. You see, we need to put pride aside for the power of Christ. That's not our power. It's the power of Christ. It's the power of Christ. Peter had learned a hard lesson regarding this. See, sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we'll end up trying to live the Christian life or do the things that God calls us to do in the
power of the flesh. We get saved and we kind of get used to spiritual things, you know what I mean? A little too familiar in a way. Lose some of the awe that we ought to still have towards it. It's not our power. It's God's power. Peter had learned this hard lesson about spirituality and pride. When Jesus was in the garden with his disciples there and telling them what was coming regarding his capture and sufferings, and Jesus said that you're all going to forsake me. And in Matthew 26:33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, what? Yet will I never be offended. That's a good word in a lesson about pride. I is right in the middle of pride. I is the sinner. That's when our pride shows, when we are the center of our lives, or we think we are. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now think about this. If that was declared to you or me, that's gonna solicit one of two kinds of answers. Before the cock crowed twice, I'm gonna deny you thrice. No. Or what? Oh God, help me. Peter's response, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said the others. The soldiers showed up to the garden there. Jesus went out to them, his disciples with him. Peter was determined. He just told Jesus, hey, you said we're all going to forsake you. They might, but I won't. What's he running on? Pride. His own strength. And by the way, he's going to show Jesus just how much he means it. Who is it pulls out the sword? It's Peter. All this was done. It says, behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. He was trying to take off his head and he missed, probably. He's going to show Jesus that he meant what he said. That wasn't what Jesus wanted them to do at that time. Jesus healed the guy's ear. He stuck the extra one in his pocket. I preached on that before. You know, we don't know if he put the one back on or if he just grew the other one. You know, we don't know. But that wasn't the way Jesus wanted that handled at that time. And then Jesus gives himself up to them, says, let these go. And the Bible says, in Matthew 26:56, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Peter's not going to be denied this thing. He just told Jesus, I won't forsake you. So what's he do? I'm going to follow. Apparently John had gone on ahead with some of those. But Peter's also going to follow. He's determined. The Bible says he does. In Matthew 26:69, now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest.
And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. What happened? In all his power and strength and determination and desire to glorify Jesus with his own strength, he failed. And he was utterly broken about it. Peter was intent on following that thing out to the bitter end, and folks, indeed it was a bitter end. You see, it's the power of Christ, it's not our power. Put aside pride for the power of Christ. Peter fared better in his walk with Christ when he wasn't so sure of himself. Remember Matthew 14 when Jesus had fed the 5,000, and he goes up to pray in the mountain for all, sends them across the lake to the other side. He sent the multitudes away, Matthew 14:23. He went to pray in the mountain there, Matthew 14:24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they, including Peter, they were troubled. See, he fared better when he was fearful but knew it. In the garden, it was, not me, Jesus. I'll be courageous. I'll be with you. And by the way, he went as far as his courage would take him, and found out it didn't go far enough. They were troubled, saying, it is the Spirit. And they, including Peter, cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. Peter had some doubts. But I'm telling you, Peter did a lot better when he was a little less sure of himself. Amen. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, what? Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water going to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, that's Peter, he was afraid. And beginning to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You see that? And what happened? Jesus reached out and saved and pulled him up, didn't he? See, Peter did a whole lot better when he didn't have that confidence in himself. He was fearful and faltering and doubting, but what was he doing? Calling upon Jesus. Bring me this far. Help me here. Help me there. And what? Jesus brought him through, didn't he? In all his imperfections, Jesus helped him with his strength. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul says, this kind of life, this is not me. If I were to recline on my own strength today, I'd be done today. It's Christ living in me. He'd come to understand that. The Holy Spirit. It's Christ that we preach. Paul said, whom we preach, Colossians 1:28, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
according to his working. His working. It's his power. To put pride aside, we need to put it aside for the person of Christ, for the power of Christ. And thirdly and finally, for the praise of Christ. For the praise of Christ. It's allergy season now, so in addition to my pulpit sorrows, I have that added to that, so excuse me for a second. I know my little buddy back there, Nathan back there, struggles with that too. He's in the room over there. Amen. Pray for those folks with allergies for sure. We must put aside pride for the praise of Christ. Look what Peter says there in verse 12. Why look ye so earnestly what? On us. I mean, if they hadn't said anything, they'd have probably grabbed a hold of Peter and said, look at these guys. You know, these are the great power of God. You know, they'd probably start yelling stuff like that. Peter says, why are you looking at us? Why are you looking so earnestly on us? Verse 13, God has glorified his son Jesus. End of the verse there. Well, what's he say about themselves there? End of verse 15. Whereof we are what? Witnesses. Listen. There's nothing great about us. We're just witnesses of the one who is great. Amen. We're witnesses of the person that God sent, of the power that he has. We're just his witnesses. What a blessing. It's the faith which is by him that giveth us perfect soundness. Again, witnessing in that faith. See, pride is a hard thing to deal with because it doesn't go away. We may get things right, realizing we need to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost in our lives. We may get things right when we trust the power of God and we're given the victory and provided this or that, and we get that victory. But then when the victory comes, pride is right there at the door to take the praise. If we're not careful, pride doesn't give up. It's right there at the door trying to get it on the way out. You know, well, that's because I did this or that, and trying to accept the praise for the praise that God deserves. The praise that God deserves. That's why we ought to put aside pride, because Christ is worthy. He's the worthy person. It's his power. He's the one worthy of praising. Paul makes it clear it's foolish to glory in the flesh. He had a problem with the church at Corinth. They had begun exalting personalities so much. Well, so-and-so speaks this way, and so-and-so's done this, and they've had all this done and that done. And what did Paul have to do? He gave them that list in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 and 16 and 17 and 21 and 12, 1 in different places. He gave them those lists of all the things that he'd suffered. But what did he say about that? I am becoming a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me to do so. Now, the Holy Spirit compelled him to do that. And it was the Holy Spirit who wrote this for us here. But we get the idea that Paul wasn't waiting around saying, boy, I can't wait for a chance. When I can share all of my sufferings, boy, they're going to be impressed. He wasn't waiting around for that, was he? He said, I think God was pressing him, and he said, you really want me to bring that? I don't want to bring this out, God. I'm praying for him. I preach to him. And finally, it's God's will for it to come out. He said, I'm going to speak like a fool for a while here. I'm going to tell you what God's want. Since you want to look at the works of men and think some people are better because of their personalities and certain gifts and all that, I'm going to throw all this out here at you, because some of them, they were putting Paul down and exalting other people above him. And so he goes through all those sufferings. And he said, you've made me act like a fool, as far as I'm concerned. Telling you so many things that might actually cause you to glorify me than Jesus Christ, which is not what I want to begin with. the praise belongs to Christ. Now don't get me wrong.
We all as believers, we need encouragement. It's okay to encourage believers, to compliment believers. You know, teachers of the Word of God, good message, good lesson. Thank you for that. This Bible is filled with Spirit-filled saints encouraging others, complimenting their character, telling them that was good, giving them honor, in a sense, in a life that they have yielded to Christ. This book has a lot of accounts of that. We understand that. As a matter of fact, not only is it okay, not only is it good, we need that. Don't be so proud you don't think you need encouragement, folks. Don't be so proud you don't think you need an attaboy or attagirl once in a while, because frankly, we do. Amen. And I'm thankful when I hear that, when I receive it, and I hear others receive it as the Spirit moves and gives it. It's needed. It's part of God's plan. That's not those things that God's talking about here. The lesson to learn from that is for all who receive that, and thank God for it, we receive that. But the caution is, be careful how you receive it. Amen. Don't let it exalt pride in your life or in our lives. We know if something spiritual got done, we know who did it. Amen. It was Jesus, not us. And we know that if we get proud about it and think it's just, you know, something about the way I am or the way so and so is, then we're going to run into trouble, aren't we? Receive that thankfully. Brother Nick told me one time, we talked about the church. This church has historically always been pretty small, and I don't think we were up in the upper 40s maybe at one time as far as people coming, but I don't think we've ever got into the 50s as far as people coming. And Brother Nick was one time saying, I know we're supposed to serve God whether people come or not, but once in a while we need an encouragement. We just need an encouragement. Why? You say, well, preacher, if we were strong in the faith, wouldn't we just be able to continue if nobody came? Let me speak for myself. Probably not. You say, well, shouldn't you, preacher? Yeah, I probably should. But you know what? I'm probably not that strong. And God doesn't give us more than we can handle, does he? Just being honest, the fact is, God knows what we need, amen. And he provides those things. But he gets the praise and the glory for those things. I'm thankful for this church. And I love you people. And I miss our ones that are watching online. We're looking forward to when God will lead you back here. And we're thankful for that. And giving Christ the praise. Paul said, talked about visions that he had and seeing one in glory when he had some visions. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12:5, "As such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Let me tell you about my weaknesses and trials and how I knew I would have failed had God not gave me strength here. I knew I'd given up if God hadn't given me strength over here. I knew there was no hope unless God had answered that prayer here. See, who's it always pointing to? God. Christ. He's the one. He's the one. See, like Peter in that boat, when they finally got all the fish in, when the boat's full of fish, don't forget who's in the boat with you. Amen. Look what we caught. Oh man, we had a good day. Yeah. Don't forget who's with you in the boat. Amen. Don't forget who really did it. Amen. Matter of fact, be in awe of the one who really did it. Amen. Fall at his feet. Worship him. Every time a soul gets saved, that's Jesus. Amen. Every time a life gets changed, that's Jesus, amen. Every time a saint gets encouraged in the Word of God, that's Jesus, amen. He's the one we lift up. He's the one we lift up. Pride. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:5, we're finishing up here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, when the flesh tries to tempt us to live in pride, you know what's following that? Disappointment. Just behind the mountaintop of pride lies the valley of God's displeasure. Just behind that mountaintop of pride lies a void of God's grace. And I don't want to be there. How about you? Because the Bible doesn't just say God stands back when there's pride. The Bible says God resists the pride, the prideful. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. And so we're encouraged. I think of Philip in Acts chapter 8. That Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who's he talking about, Philip? That man asked him. And Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. Philip read that verse there in verse 33 about Jesus. In his humiliation he was taken away. Here it is. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who's going to tell the world about Jesus' life? Philip said, I will. I'll pick it up right there. And you know, that's what I'm here for. That's what you're here for. We're here to tell people about Jesus' life. And when we do that, yes, we can tell how he helped us. We should. Yes, we can tell how he saved us. We should. But it's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's about sharing what he's done for us, what he's done for the whole world by dying for us on that cruel cross. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're all servants, all of us. We have different gifts and different callings as Christians, but Jesus is the one we lift up. He is the one we point to, setting pride aside. Close with a poem and we'll be done. Pride helps me feel I'm great. It's the only job he's got. He's on the job continually, lest others think I'm not. I've given him a working crew. They help him all the time. Of their names you've heard a few. I, me, myself, and mine. There is one who loves me, though. Not for pride's vain show. And he will love me to the end. He wants my soul to know. He loves me not for wisdom I've shared, nor for good deeds I've done, but just because I'm in God's image made. He is God's blessed Son. He proved his love by sufferings great.
He bore my sin and shame. Now I am free to live my life for the glory of His name. For the glory of His name. What a freedom that is, amen. You know, because when we really know ourselves, this thing's kind of hard to exalt, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to exalt Jesus, isn't it? If you really think about it. And we just have to live our lives, what? To glorify His name. Yes, we are to follow Him and be an example. But if that happens, what? While we're living a life to lift up Jesus, amen, and to glorify His name. And then we see that He'll do His work as He gets the praise, the glory, the power. The very person that the world needs is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for your word this morning. It's gone forth in the classes and this morning now with the worship service. And Father, truly, it is amazing what You've done for us in providing us salvation through faith in Your dear Son, giving us the Holy Spirit once we trust Christ as our Savior to give us power to live the Christian life. And then to thank You and praise Your name as we see You work through us to help others. Also to know the same loving and great Savior that we know. And I pray You'd help us to experience more of that in our lives as we draw closer to You. Father, as that becomes more and more the desire of our heart, help us to be fruitful for You in the fruits of the Christian life, as well as having an impact in other lives. And Lord, we know that none of it can happen apart from You and Your strength. Without You, we can do nothing, and we know that. But Father, I thank You that with God all things are possible. And Lord Jesus, You said all power is given unto Me. And You said that whatever we ask in Your name, You will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so I pray You'd help us to have this focused, Your glory and our good. And Father, also that You may be used of us and work through us, Father, to help others know the wonder of being saved and following You as a disciple of Christ. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen.